The Fan is live and local on Sunday morning. And if you're thinking this is another show talking about gambling and fantasy football rosters, you'd be 100% correct.
Will you teach me to football?
This is On the Money with Scotty Vegas and Dave Biddle.
Here we'll teach you to football.
Sponsored by Mobile Center, taking care of all your cellular needs. Mobile Center is now part of the 5G T-Mobile network. And Bud Light, America's favorite light lager.
Welcome to the season debut of On the Money. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop. We like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie Wells at the controls. This is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling, two of our favorite things in the world. Scotty Vegas, how are you doing this morning, my friend?
I am fantastic, Dave. And you know what? We're at the 9 a.m. start. And, Dave, it kind of feels like, you know, that Fox Big Noon Saturday kick, right? We're a little bit earlier this year, but it's going to be great. And we're leading right into Browns coverage, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's huge. I love that, the Fan is now the home of the Cleveland Browns, as well as being the home of Ohio State football and the Crew and the Blue Jackets, just adding to the portfolio there. I love that now we're also the home of the Cleveland Browns, which does move us up a little bit, but happy to do this from 9 to 11. You know, we have more of the day ahead of us now. And football, man, you can just smell it in the air. I mean, we have the preseason going on in the NFL, but as far as regular games, we're just now 11 days away from the Buckeyes kicking off against Minnesota on a Thursday night, just 3 weeks away from opening Sunday in the NFL, which is always one of my favorite days of the year, Scotty. That opening Sunday, now the NFL season actually kicks off 18 days from now on a Thursday night, but that first Sunday in the NFL, man, that opening Sunday, one of the best sports days of the year.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. And I'll tell you what, Dave, I got a little goosebumps when you said we're down to 11 days until that game against Minnesota. I mean, we're going to go over the things we're most excited about here in a minute. But, man, 11 days till we get to see what this offense is going to be. I can't wait. I got the goosebumps already.
Yeah, I was over there yesterday, and Ryan Day called that kind of impromptu press conference. We got word Friday evening, and you're wondering, uh-oh, what's this? Is this something bad? And, you know, I kind of asked somebody at Ohio State, should I brace myself for something? And they're like, no, this is good. It's something good. So C.J. Stroud named the starting quarterback yesterday. No surprise there. But, yeah, let's get into that. You mentioned it. Let's get into the top five things that we are most excited about for this football season. This could be college football, could be the NFL. You could use the CFL if you want, Scotty. I'm not going to do that. College or the NFL. Scotty, you have the floor first. What are the five things you're looking forward to the most this football season?
So for me, number one, Dave, is being back on campus. You know, last year was obviously rough. We were fortunate in the fact that we got football. But the fact that now we're going to be back on campus, tailgates, things like that. Look, the last sporting event, I went to a tennis tournament this week down in Mason, and that was the first major sporting event that I've been in the stands at in over a year. So, you know, the fact that we are actually going to be able to be in the stands or in the press box or just being on campus, that's the number one thing for me going into this year.
I love it. I love it. Number one thing for me, I will go with just how Ohio State looks and will they win the national championship. Not to put any pressure on them there, but that's the goal. I mean, you know, obviously, you know you got to take it one goal at a time. First goal, you'll beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, get to the playoffs. But now I think they've got the team to do it. I really do. They're young at spots, including quarterback, secondary, but they've got enough veterans too, and they're extremely talented, and this offense is going to be absolutely elite, and I think the defense will be much improved. So I'm just curious how Ohio State looks, how C.J. Stroud looks as the starting quarterback, and eventually can they get over that Alabama hump, presuming it's Alabama, presuming they get another chance, and win the national championship. I think they've got a really good shot this year. What's number two for you?
So I'm piggybacking based on what you just said, and I want to see how good this Ohio State offense is going to be, because I think, you know, with the talent, the wide receivers, I mean, just thinking about that wide receiver room gets me excited for, as you said, 11 days from now against Minnesota. So just seeing that and how good that unit's going to be this year. Look, I mean, the defensive line, I'm so pumped to watch them. All these young guys. So this Ohio State team. Specifically, though, you mentioned going for a national championship. I cannot wait. The last time I remember wide receivers this good and this deep was probably that Ted Ginn, Santonio Holmes, Anthony Gonzalez. I think this group is going to be even better, so I'm going to put that at number two.
Yeah, I like that. They're even deeper. I mean, you might have a situation where, like, it looks like Jaden Ballard, who's a really talented true freshman, is going to be the number seven wide receiver. And, like, Emeka Egbuka might be the number five wide receiver. Julian Fleming might be the number six. I mean, it's just crazy. It's amazing. All right, number two for me. Being a Bengals fan, I'm very curious how Joe Burrow looks this year. He's been up and down. Feels like he's now getting more comfortable. Is not playing in the preseason. Early talk out of camp was, you know, he was really, you know, struggling to get over that mental hurdle coming off of that serious leg injury. Now word is he's been looking a lot better in practice. I have no illusions the Bengals are going to be good this year. I just want them to show improvement, and I want Joe Burrow to have a big year and just, you know, reinforce that he is the guy for the next decade plus. And so I'm just curious how well Joe Burrow plays this year. What's number three for you, Scotty? Go ahead.
Yeah, good call on that, Dave. I'm very interested in that as well. And there's a couple new teams for me in the NFL that'll be interesting this year. Number one, the Jags. How will they be under Urban Meyer? I want to see that. That's must-see TV for me now, is how well Urban Meyer and the Jags will do. Number two, you know, as far as teams, new teams for me to follow, it's going to be the Bears. Look, I want to see how good Justin Fields is going to be, when he's going to start, hopefully relatively soon. I know we've seen some preseason games yesterday, and you know, the fact that he was out there, he took a big hit yesterday, which scared me. But I want to see Justin Fields on the field. I think he's going to be spectacular in the NFL. I think, actually, we're going to get into fantasy and where you're drafting different guys. I'm telling you, Justin Fields, not just a homer pick here. You know, he might not start in, you know, till week 3, 4, 5, whenever. But I'm telling you, down the stretch in a fantasy football season, he could be a huge factor. And I just can't wait to see a stud NFL quarterback from the Buckeyes. So I'm going to say Justin Fields, the Bears, Urban Meyer with the Jags. There's more interest in some of these other NFL teams for me now.
I like that one. My number three, I didn't have Urban. That's a good one, though. You kind of combine those together. I like that. But I have Justin Fields. Watching Justin Fields, will Ohio State finally have a quarterback from Ohio State that becomes a star in the NFL? And I feel like he will be the one. I feel like he will be the one. I think the Jets blew it by taking Zach Wilson. Now, he looked good, you know, in the most recent preseason game. I believe it was last night. But still, man, there's been a lot of talk. He's been struggling. I mean, Fields should have been the number two pick of the draft, in my opinion. I'm really curious how he's going to do this year. Like you said, he's going to win this job at some point. If he doesn't win it in week one, you know, Andy Dalton is, you know, you know, I've made fun of Andy Dalton a lot. He's like a solid NFL quarterback, though, and it's hard to be a solid NFL quarterback. So he's not beating out some schlub, but Justin Fields will win that job. And it's going to be fascinating to see if the Buckeyes finally have a former quarterback in the NFL that becomes a star. He doesn't need to be a star this year, but, you know, does he lay the groundwork to becoming a star? It'll be very interesting to see. All right, what's number four for you, Scotty?
Number four, Dave, I'm going to go with, and I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, I'm excited for full Saturdays of college football. We got cheated out last year in the fact that 139 games in the regular season were canceled last year. I'm ready for my butt to be sitting on a couch from noon till midnight. Once that Pac-12 after dark game gets going, I'm ready for 12 hours on the couch on Saturdays this year, not worrying about, oh, this game's canceled, this game's canceled. Hopefully we don't have to deal with that as much this year. And the fact that we're going to be able to, from those Saturday games, because last year, Dave, I thought college football took a beating. You know, the NFL, they were able to get most of their games in. They got the whole season in. And, you know, the fact that they were able to kind of maneuver scheduling around. Look, last year, so frustrating. Hopefully we don't deal with that this year. I'm so excited for that noon to midnight on the couch on Saturdays.
I love it. I love it. I'll be, you know, sometimes in the press box, sometimes on the couch. So I'll be splitting duty. Number four for me, how bad will Michigan be this year?
Yes.
They're unranked to begin the year. And then you look at others receiving votes, they're about 32nd in the AP poll. You're thinking, okay, man, that's pretty bad for Michigan, right? That's over. They're overrated there. Here's why I feel that way. The guy that I trust the most of the national prognosticators is Phil Steele. He has, and I know I'm not alone there, it's the reason his magazine's the most popular one, and one of the few magazines that's still left standing. He has Michigan ranked 60th. In the country. 60th. He ranks every team, you know, one through whatever it is, 128. He has Michigan 60th. And I'm going to give a little heads up to the, you know, our final segment. We do best bets. We give you advice on, you know, five bets we really like. Michigan's over. I'm just going to, you know, let the cat out of the bag on this one. I love this bet. Michigan's over under is 7.5 wins for 12 game regular season. That means if you think that they are going to get the over and you think they're going to lose to Ohio State in the game, that means they would have to enter the game at 8-3. For you to hit the over. I love the under of 7.5 wins for Michigan. I won't be surprised if they're 5-7. I don't see a lot of depth on this team. I see holes in certain areas. They've got some solid starters. They've got a lot of new coaches, guys that I look like to be in over their head, a defensive coordinator that's never been a defensive coordinator, an offensive line coach that's never been an offensive line coach before. A head coach that, hello, just has seemed lost ever since he's been there. I think Michigan's going to be bad this year. I think under 7.5 wins, you know, I think that's a safe bet right there. All right, number five for you, Scotty.
First off, Dave, what a great call by you. And I'm mad at myself that I didn't have Michigan miseries in my top five of the things that I'm most excited about for this year, because I'm with you. We were going through their schedule yesterday, and we were trying to like predict how many wins that they were going to get. And, you know, I was looking 5, maybe 6, you know, at best 7
right,
and 5 this year.
Seven and you could, if, even if they get to 7, yeah. Which I don't think they will, you'd still win the bet.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, just looking at their schedule, you've got Washington, which I think is going to be a really tough game for them. They're at Wisconsin. They're at Nebraska. They're at Michigan State, at Penn State, at Maryland. You know, and then, of course, Ohio State and Indiana at home. It's going to be tough. And I'm with you on that best bet as under their win total. I'm with you. Number five for me, though. It's gotta be parlays, Dave. It's gotta be parlays. It's those Sunday parlays where I love to just pick 3-4 winners, put them together, and hope they come through. And you know what? I said Sunday parlays. I also like doing Saturday parlays. Dave, I like doing Thursday parlays. So yes, parlays for football season. I'm all in, Dave.
Ah, the parlay king, Scotty Vegas. I love it. Number five for me, this is a kind of a combination thing. Will the Bucks repeat, or is this the Chiefs' year? Seems like it's the Chiefs' year. Or can the Browns crash the party? Or the Bills, but let's talk about the Browns. We're the home of the Browns here on 97.1 The Fan. Can the Browns crash the party? They're one of those teams that could. Obviously, the favorites are the Chiefs and the Bucks, but can the Browns crash the party, or is it going to be Bucks repeating and Tom Brady riding out in the sunset, if, you know, assuming he does, or... The Chiefs look pretty loaded. The one thing they needed to do was beef up that offensive line. What did they do? They beefed up that offensive line. Unlike my Bengals, which decided, worst offensive line in the NFL. Let's just barely upgrade it. I'm trying to get Joe Burrow killed again. All right, Scotty, let's move along here. Let's talk about our betting offseason. Any good stories to share? I hear you've been doing really, really well in the golf betting.
Dave, it has been a run that I cannot believe. And I can tell you for the first time ever, Dave, I have beat the books. So let me just throw this out at you. So back at the Memorial Tournament, that's when everything got started. I had Patrick Cantlay for a big amount, ended up coming through after Rahm had to withdraw. And then I had that account padded, right? I had a good amount. And then week after week after week, over 10 weeks, I had record-setting wins for me four times. I just kept hitting golf bets, and it got so ridiculous, Dave, that the book that I use actually ended up saying I can no longer do live betting and I can no longer bet on golf. So I call them up and I'm like, hey, for some reason I can't get my bets in. And they're like, yeah, your count has actually been limited now. You are no longer to do these live bets. You're no longer to do these golf bets. I wanted to cry a little bit because I'll tell you what, it was a very, very profitable summer for me. And I know, Dave, that you've got a good March Madness story.
Yes, you got me in this fantastic March Madness pool. I'm not just saying that because I got lucky and did so well and won it. I've never done anything like that where we draft players and it's just how many points they score. And you know, you have to draft at least one guy that's 13 seed or above. And you know, we drafted our players, and I won some good coin on that. Now you guys are going to get me back
yes,
this
you
year.
Do.
Now I've got a bullet on, or I've got a bullseye on my back now. So I got to real be careful. But that was a lot of fun. I appreciate you inviting me. I hope I'm invited back. I was a rude first year entry into your March Madness pool, my friend.
It was incredible what you did, by the way, in that March Madness pool. So one of your guys was a VCU player, which meant he got 0 points for the whole tournament, and you still kicked our butt throughout that whole thing. I remember I had friends texting me that basically they're not going to be able to make rent this month because of having to pay out to Dave Biddle.
Oh, gosh.
But no, it was an incredibly fun run in March Madness. You kicked all of our butts, and that was a lot of fun.
Beginner's luck. All right. On the Money is sponsored by Mobile Center, taking care of all of your cellular needs. Mobile Center, now part of the 5G T-Mobile network. And Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. All right, up next, Scotty and I are going to do a 2-round mock fantasy football draft. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Constantly interrupting valuable airtime to sell $3 stickers. What a business plan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. If you're just joining us, this is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling, two of the greatest things in life. Scotty and I are now going to do a 2-round mock fantasy draft. This will be a snake draft. So we'll draft a total of 24 players, 12 players each. One caveat, we each need to take a quarterback at some point. Scotty, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right. Coin flip. Heads or tails, you call it.
I'm going tails.
It's tails. Tails never
yes.
fails. You've got the first pick.
All right. This one's easy. Everybody should be taking, regardless of the format of their draft, everybody should be taking Christian McCaffrey, number one. So, obviously, I'm going McCaffrey at one. No overthinking this one.
I will take, with the number two pick of our fake draft, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Cook's a monster. I have Cook at number two, too. So, I'm going to go number three. And I had this guy last year in my main league, and it's so fun when you know you're guaranteed such a good game, and so often he puts up a ridiculous game. I'm going to go Derrick Henry at number three.
Losing the coin flip is affecting me greatly. You keep taking my picks, but that's all right. I will take – this is not a bad guy to take, just like Cook was not a bad guy to take. I will take Alvin Kamara. It's not Kamara, everybody. Not like the soccer players that played for the Crew. There was a couple named Kai Kamara, and there was another named Kamara. This is Kamara. Kamerica. I like to remind people of that. It's like the most mispronounced name ever. Kamara, number four pick. There you
yep.
go. All right, here you go, number five.
Good pick, Dave, and that's how I power rank my top four. I feel like that's how pretty much every draft is going to go. It's going to go McCaffrey, Cook, Henry, and Kamara all in the top four. Here's where it gets a little interesting for me. And by the way, we are not going based on number of players at a position. So obviously it's just a two-man league here. We're just going how we think this draft should go power ranking-wise. I'm going to go number five in a bounce-back year, Zeke Elliott. I think injuries killed the Cowboys last year, especially on the offensive line. Dak is back. That line is back. I think this offense was scary good early last year. And, you know, the fact that they have such a crappy defense, I like that. So I think that's going to help Zeke's production. I'm going Zeke at number five, Dave.
I like that. I'm high on Zeke this year. But you know what's funny? When I'm reading a lot of people with the, you know, don't draft list, you know, and that Zeke's making a lot of those. And I'm thinking, man, their offensive line's good again. I mean, Dak's got, like, you know, a little banged up. Obviously, they're going to throw the ball. But, you know, I think Zeke's motivated this year. I really do. I like that pick. I will I'll go with a running back. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler.
Ooh.
At number six, right? Yeah, that was number six.
Yep.
So you're up at number seven.
So, just real quick on Eckler, because I think a lot of people stay away from him, you know, but I think this Chargers team is going to be really solid this year, and I think Eckler can kind of play that play a big role this year. So six, a little high for me, but I do like Eckler a lot. I'm looking at going for the first wide receiver, and so I'm going to go at number seven, Davante Adams. I think he's got to be the number one wide receiver this year. Led the league in targets per game last year. I think he's as safe as it gets. I'm going to take Davante Adams, first wide receiver off the board.
I will also take my wide receiver one here. I'm going Tyreek Hill. I actually, and everybody has Davante Adams ranked a spot higher than Tyreek Hill. I get it, at wide receiver. I like Hill a little better. There's not any, like, you know, strife or anything. Not that Rodgers and Adams have any strife, but like there's, you know, the contract situation with Adams. It just, that stuff can matter. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill with my pick at number eight. All right, you're up at number nine, my friend.
Yeah, I know that you've always been high on Tyreek, and why not? He's been amazing. But I think you owned him in a couple leagues last year, and, you know, that's a good pick. I'm going to go with another Kansas City Chief. I'm going to go Travis Kelce. And the reason why is between the number one tight end and number two tight end, there's a huge gap in my mind. You know, Travis Kelce's been the number one fantasy tight end in the last 5 years. Broke the record for yards in a season by a tight end last year. Last year would have been wide receiver number four. So he's basically a top-notch wide receiver that you can plug into the tight end role. So I'm drafting him in a lot of leagues this year, right around 7-8. So I'm going to go Kelce at 9.
Let's go through these pretty fast. We still have a few minutes left in the segment here. Okay, number 10, a couple picks left here in the first round of our fake draft. I'm not crazy about this, but I'm going to take Saquon Barkley at number 10. Who you got at 11?
Yeah, good pick with Barkley. I'm going to go Aaron Jones at 11.
Okay, I like that. I had him next. I have, and I like this, at 12. To close out the first round, I get the next two picks. I will take Nick Chubb at 12, and I will come back with Joe Mixon at 13. Ohio running backs, bam, you're up at 14.
Yep. Man, I'm mad you got Mixon, because I wanted Mixon. I'm going to go Najee Harris with the Steelers. So we're going all these AFC the running backs here back-to-back-to-back. I'm going to go Harris. That's pick 14, and you're up for 15.
So you went east out of Ohio to a border state. I will go west out of Ohio to a border state and take Jonathan Taylor with 15th pick. You got it, 16.
Yeah, and we're a little low on Taylor. I think Taylor's probably a little bit better than pick 15. I'm going to go Antonio Gibson for the football team at pick 16.
El football team. Okay, that was 16. So I'm up at 17. We got to take a quarterback at some point. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes at 17.
Yep. And I will I'll wait then on quarterback, since you're not taking another one. Strategy, even in this fake fantasy, there's always mind games.
That's right.
Let me go with DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf at pick 18.
I love it. Okay, I will go with Stephon Diggs at 19. Yep.
Knew that was coming. He was my next guy on the board. Let me give you guys another running back that I love this year. Chris Carson. He's a guy who I think will have a huge year. And if you can get him late in the second round, early third round, I love him. Pick number 20, Chris Carson.
Pick number 21, J.K. Dobbins.
Yes.
Go get it. Come back with it. 21, J.K. Dobbins.
So okay, 22.
You got a 22.
I can wait one more pick before I take Josh Allen, so I'm going to throw in Calvin Ridley at pick number 22.
Okay. So I will take Justin Jefferson at 23, my final pick.
Okay.
And you got Josh Allen at 24.
And, yep, Allen at 24.
And we're betting 1,000 on this, we said? No. I'm punting on tight end. We're all punting on kicker and defense and all that good. First of all, we shouldn't even have kickers in fantasy, but whatever. All right, up next, we take a look at the betting and fantasy preview for the Cleveland Browns. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On the money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle, joined by Scotty Vegas. All right, Scotty, let's take a look at the betting and fantasy preview for the Cleveland Browns. A lot to get into. What are some things that stand out the most to you?
Yeah, starting with Baker at quarterback. Look, for me, I think the Browns are going to be really good this year. It's just I'm not buying into Baker Mayfield as a fantasy quarterback. I think they're going to win games running the football with their defense. To me, Baker just needs to throw 27 to 33 times per game, not turn the ball over, which is not a recipe for big fantasy numbers. So he'll put up some games. He might be a quarterback you can stream in different weeks. But for me, Baker's not the guy. But the guy who I love, and you took him in our draft just a few minutes ago, it's Nick Chubb. And I think Chubb might be, if not the best running back in the NFL, one of the top two or three. He's not there as far as fantasy because one, Kareem Hunt steals a little bit of the in the passing game, but he doesn't catch as much. But here's the thing for me. As far as all-around running backs, Nick Chubb is a top three running back in the NFL, but he's probably a top 10 type fantasy running back. What do you think, Dave?
I completely agree with your assessment of Chubb. I love him. I'm saying this as a Bengal fan. I love the way he runs the ball. He is so damn good. But yeah, because of, you know, Kareem Hunt being there, he's going to steal some carries. He's going to, you know, steal the receptions from the running back spot. And, you know, Stefanski, this goes to your point with Baker Mayfield, why I'm not high on him as a fantasy quarterback. I think he can be a good NFL quarterback this year, like he was last year, and lead the Browns to a lot of wins. Stefanski wants to run the ball. Now, you're going to throw the ball a certain amount when you have OBJ and Landry, and you have Baker. But he seems like a guy that wants to run the ball, and they have a tremendous offensive line. Every Browns fan knows that. I mean, one of the best in football. You could argue it's the best. So, yeah, I love Chubb. I love Chubb, and if it wasn't for Kareem Hunt being there, he would be a top three fantasy back. I think you nailed it there. Now, obviously, OBJ is going to get drafted. Landry's going to get drafted. I wouldn't draft those guys high. The one guy that I would target high, obviously, is Chubb. I think he's tremendous. But again, for fantasy, we're talking tremendous, more like, you know, early second round tremendous, not top three overall tremendous. All right, let's look at some betting odds here. Now, the Browns, if you are a Browns fan that believes the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl, you can win some coin here. 16-1 odds to win the Super Bowl, the eighth highest in the NFL. So 32 teams, you're in that, you know, that top quarter of teams. That's got to feel good if you're a Browns fan. What do you make of that 16-1 odds to win the Super Bowl for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, it's interesting that it's eighth highest, and the thing for me, if you look at it, money's coming in on the Browns. So while they might be 16-1, they're one of the top teams that people are betting on.
Mostly coming from Bo Bishop, isn't it?
Yeah. But it also shows that people think that there's value in that 16-1. So that number has creeped down, 16-1. And, you know, looking at some of the other betting numbers, Dave, to win the AFC, they're 8-1. Now, in my case, if I'm taking them, if I feel like this team's going far, I'm not just betting that 8-1 on the AFC. Because that AFC is stacked this year, right? I mean, we know how good the Chiefs are. We know that the Bills are really good. It's a tough division. The Browns aren't even the favorite in the division, which we'll get into in a minute. So, for me, I would take the 16-1 Super Bowl over doing the AFC at 8-1. But it's interesting that they're not the favorite in the AFC North.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is called, I already did it once with my, giving away one of my best bets, final segment of the show, that Michigan under 7.5 wins is one of my favorite bets of the year. You know, 12-game regular season schedule that have to be entering the game at 8-3 if you believe they're going to lose to Ohio State, which they will, for them to hit the over there. Michigan under 7.5. Another one that I love, another one I'm going to give away, is Browns plus 150 to win the AFC North. I feel like they're the best team in the league, and it's or in the division. And it, you know, it takes I think some people. You know, you just automatically think it's going to be the Ravens or the Steelers, and then maybe the Browns. You know, it's like that's not the case this year. I think the Browns have the best team. I think they have the best roster, and Kevin Stefanski is a tremendous head coach. He's already proven that in 1 year. He's unflappable over there, and I think they're the best team. So of all of these bets, plus 150 for the Browns to win the AFC North is my favorite.
I like that one too. And, you know, I went up to Berea actually on Friday, and then we were driving back. It was part of a listener with 97.1 now tied in with the Browns. We got to go up there and see one of their last training camp practices. And on the way back, I was looking at the schedule, and I was just kind of going win, win, loss, you know, going through the schedule, trying to figure out exactly how many wins I think they'll get. And Dave, I had them getting 12 wins. I had them at 12-5 this year, which actually, you know, the over under on their number of wins this year is 10.5. So if they hit that number, that 12, there's a little bit of breathing room between 12 and 10.5. So, you know, I like them as far as what you said with the division at plus 150. I like the over of 10.5. There's also a line out there. Will they make the playoffs? That's minus 230. And what that means is it takes $230 to win $100 for them to make the playoffs. I like that as well. So there's a lot of prop bets out there on the Browns that I like better than betting them to win the Super Bowl or better than them winning the AFC. I think the AFC North odds are good. I think the over 10.5 is good, and I like the minus 230 to make the playoffs. And Dave, there's a couple of good player prop bets out there as well.
Yeah, and before we get to those, would you recommend? Because I really like your idea with the over under. I feel like if the Browns, yeah, I could see 11-6. I mean, 10-7 to me that would be a bad season for the Browns, and I don't see them having a bad season. To me, that'd be a bad season given what I just said about them.
Yeah,
and then I mean. You're right. I think 12-5 is a strong possibility, and you don't even need to hit 12-5 for you to win the bet. You just need to be 11-6. So I do. I like that over 10.5 wins for the Cleveland Browns. And would you recommend parlaying that with, because if you believe they're going to be over 10.5 wins, which we do, you probably also believe they're going to win the AFC North. Would you parlay those two together, plus 150 to win the North, over under or over 10.5 wins, and maybe also parlay it with minus 230 to make the playoffs, because obviously if they have 11 wins, they're making the playoffs.
I would love that. Most books don't let you do a correlated parlay like that, but I love all of those. So, yeah, I think obviously if they're going to win the division, they're going to go over the 10.5 wins. And another prop bet out there that I think is interesting, and see what you think about this, is Browns 7-1 to have the best AFC regular season record. I think that's on the table. I know you've got we mentioned the Chiefs and the Bills. But I like the 7-1 to have the AFC best regular season record. And if you go 12-5, which I had them at, you know, that's right in the discussion. You might need to get to 13 wins to get that one seed, but at 7-1 odds, that's pretty good because I think your two competitors really for that are going to be, Chiefs and Bills, and maybe the Ravens also. So, there's a lot of prop bets out there. And then one player prop I want to throw at you, Dave, and see what you think of this. Myles Garrett, 5.5-1, so plus 550 to be defensive player of the year. So if we think the Browns are going to be as good and taking the over, Myles Garrett's going to have to be a beast. And 5.5-1 for defensive player of the year, to me, is a pretty good bet.
And it's one of those categories where if he puts up like a gaudy stat like 20 sacks, like he's probably going to win that award, you know, even if he maybe isn't like great against the run, which he probably will be. He's fantastic. But I like that one. And one more player prop that I like, Nick Chubb, most rushing yards in the NFL, 6.5-1. So I like those odds. He's got the third best odds behind Henry and Cook. Chubb, most rushing yards in the NFL, 6.5-1. What do you think?
I love that one also. The one that throws me off is the fact that Derrick Henry, he's such a beast and you know how many yards he'll get this year. But look, if Henry gets dinged up, misses a couple games, you know, you never know. But at 6.5-1, that's pretty good odds.
They have Julio Jones now, though. Don't you think Vrabel's going to air it out with Tannehill? No, I'm kidding.
You're still going back to Henry.
You're still going to that. And by the way, thank you out to Alabama in that 2014 Sugar Bowl for not just giving Henry the ball like 35 times in that game.
Yes.
Thank you, Lane Kiffin, for having Blake Sims throw the ball to the Ohio State defense. We still appreciate that, Lane Kiffin. So, yeah, some good stuff there from the Browns. I mean, man, Browns fans just must be like, I'm sure there's some trepidation, too, because like expectations are so high. But, like, my advice is just enjoy it. I mean, they've been downtrodden for so many years. They had a very good season last year. They didn't just make the playoffs. They beat the Steelers. Browns fans, you'll have to let me know what that's like sometime, beat the Steelers in the playoffs. I have no idea what that feels like. I mean, you got to be feeling great if you're a Browns fan, Scotty.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Plus, you can listen to the games on the Fan. I mean, what's better than that?
That's right. Up next, we're going to take a look at Buckeyes in the NFL this season and where they're being drafted in fantasy. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
On air, online, on the app. New methods of consumption, same great radio taste. Take us with you everywhere. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. We're going to take a look at Buckeyes in the NFL this year. Where they're getting drafted in fantasy, what you can expect from them. So still, you know, the Buckeye that's being drafted the highest is Ezekiel Elliott. He's the number 5 running back by, according to The Athletic, those are the rankings I pulled up. Zeke number 5, J.K. Dobbins the number 13 running back, and making his debut in the running back list in fantasy football, Mr. Trey Sermon, the number 36 running back. So, at least according to The Athletic, the Buckeyes have 3 of the top 36, including Zeke at number 5. What do you make of those 3?
Yeah, and Dave, I'm going to talk a little bit about Trey Sermon because, look, I think he is a potential steal for people in fantasy drafts. He's a guy who I've been targeting in a lot of mine, ranked, as you said, in the mid-30s. But he's a guy who's right now the number 2 behind Raheem Mostert. But I'm telling you, this is a guy who can be the starting running back relatively quickly on a very, very good offense. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Sermon, if you're picking him, right now his average draft position is around 97. But if you can potentially get a guy who's going to be a starting running back around 97, which, you know, you're looking at round 8, round 9, I think there's good value. We talked about Zeke. With Dak back, this is such a different situation. The offensive line back. Look, when everybody was healthy last year, he was the number 3 running back in fantasy football at the beginning of the year. So I think Zeke, obviously. And then how about the wide receiver position, Dave? Because I know there's a guy who has slipped in average draft position, but is someone that you really like and someone who you're targeting. And that's, of course, Michael Thomas.
Well, yeah, I just think there's been an overcorrection here. Like, I mean, he is the number 54 wide receiver. Think about that. There are 53 wide receivers ranked ahead of Michael Thomas, and I get it to an extent. I think he should be, like, certainly out of the top 40. But I feel like there's been an overcorrection here. He's a guy that you can draft very late. Now, unless you're in a league with a bunch of Ohio State fans, somebody's probably going to draft him maybe too early. But if you're, like, in a national league, in some of these, you know, he's being drafted where he's ranked by The Athletic, for example, number 54, you can get him very late, stash him, probably on IR for a while. Then once he gets, you know, activated, he's probably not going to be great right away. But then by the time playoff time rolls around, the Saints could have that offense rolling. I'm not big on Jameis Winston, but, man, he couldn't be in a better spot. Maybe Taysom Hill will be the quarterback. But I think by the end of the year, Michael Thomas is going to be a factor. So if you believe you're going to make the playoffs, and you should, that shouldn't, you know, a late round pick that you stash shouldn't affect your regular season record. And then all of a sudden you have Michael Thomas when the postseason begins. Again, I'm not saying draft Michael Thomas early. Draft him very, very, very late. When people are drafting like kickers and defenses and stuff, you can maybe get him. So yeah, I like him at number 54. Terry McLaurin is the best of the wide receivers for the Buckeyes in fantasy this year. The number 11 wide receiver, and you could say he's maybe should be more like 10 or 9. Curtis Samuel, his teammate with Washington, number 34 wide receiver. And one more guy who's getting drafted really, really late if you're in a deep league, Paris Campbell, the number 73 wide receiver in fantasy. And then, of course, at quarterback, Justin Fields. Athletic has him at number 20, the number 20 quarterback. And once he takes over that job, Scotty, he's going to be more of a top 15 guy, I think.
Absolutely. And look, there's always a fantasy football quarterback that is a late round pick that kind of jumps out, right? That surprises everybody and helps you win the league. And look, 3 years ago, Patrick Mahomes was that guy in 2018. 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson was that guy. He was drafted, if he was even drafted, he was drafted really late. And then last year, Aaron Rodgers was a guy who was really late and ended up helping people win leagues. To me, as far as Justin Fields, he's a guy who's better in leagues where you get 4 points for passing touchdowns, because I think there's a high likelihood he's going to get some rushing touchdowns. And then going back to the wide receivers for a second, as far as Michael Thomas, how long he's going to be out, I've seen best case scenario, he's probably back by week 3, which is end of September, and then worst case scenario would be late October. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a guessing game. That's why he's falling as far down as he is. So you've got Michael Thomas falling. And I've got a question for you, Dave.
Yes, sir.
The Madden rankings. So every year, obviously, the Madden game comes out. We know that the NFL just has a ton of great Buckeye players. I want you to guess from the Madden ratings, give me the top five highest rated players. If you can hit these top five. Now, this isn't fantasy. This is offense and defense.
Oh, wow. So Patrick Mahomes has got to be up there.
No, I'm sorry. Only Buckeyes.
Oh,
only
Buckeyes. I'm sorry. Madden ratings. Okay. Gotcha. So Chase Young. Chase Young's got to be on there. I will say, let me think about this. I'll go Terry McLaurin. Is he on there?
Terry's fifth. Yep.
Okay. I'll go Zeke.
Zeke is not.
Not on there. Okay. Okay, let me think here. Oh, the two Boses.
Yes, both Boses.
And Chase Young. Okay. And I got Terry McLaurin. I got to get one more, huh? Oh, geez. Curtis Samuel?
No.
Who am I forgetting on defense? I'm forgetting somebody really good on Denzel Ward.
Denzel Ward is up there. He is sixth, but he's not top five.
Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody really good, aren't I? Justin Fields?
No. Think defensive line.
Man, another defensive lineman. Jeez. So we got Chase Young, both Boses. Man, I'm going to kick myself here, aren't I? Oh, Cam Hayward?
North. Yes. Yes. There you go.
Going old school. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. That's one of my And the Steelers always get, like, not only Buckeyes that are Buckeyes, but guys that I love, like Cam Hayward, you know, Ryan Shazier. Obviously, his career ended in horrible fashion, but still had a great career while he was in the NFL. Great guy. I'm glad he's at least able to walk. Cam Hayward, that's a good one. I like that one right there. So, do you want to give the listeners a heads up about the Bud Light picks contest, Scotty? I know you wanted to do that a little earlier. I think we forgot to do that. So what's up with the Bud Light picks contest?
Absolutely, I do. It is back for year number two. Head to 971thefan.com. You can make your NFL game-by-game picks every week with us. And we got a heck of a prize again this year. It's the Ultimate Fan Cave from Bud Light. $900 for a new sectional. You get a big screen TV, a kegerator, a big light, a Bud Light neon, and a ton of other stuff for your fan cave. All you have to do is go on to 971thefan.com, and right on the front page there, you can make your NFL picks for week one. You can already sign up and make your picks for week one, and through the entire season, the winner will get that Ultimate Fan Cave. So it's back this year, Dave.
I love it. Up next, Scotty and I are going to take a look at futures odds in the NFL and college football that we really like this year. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
One is upside down on an inversion table. The other one's wearing a tank top without pants.
Ready for your workout?
Radio doesn't get any better than this.
You nasty.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Welcome back to On the Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop, a.k.a. Scotty Vegas. We have Bodie Wells producing the show. If you're just joining us, this is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling. All right, Scotty, let's take a look at notable futures odds in pro and college football. We're going to look at stuff like Super Bowl champion odds, national championship odds, Big Ten champion odds, stuff like that. Let's start with some division odds in the NFL. And let's start with the AFC North. Cleveland Browns fans, you're not going to like this. Maybe you will, because you can make some money. The Baltimore Ravens are the favorite, plus 115 to win the AFC North. The Cleveland Browns, second, plus 150. Third, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 4-1. If you're a Steeler fan and you think, hey, we're being overlooked here, 4-1 odds for you guys to win the division. My fellow Bengal fans, they're not giving us much love, and rightfully so. 22-1 odds for the Bengals. Woo. Plus 2,200 for the Bengals to win the AFC North, because there's no way that they will win the AFC North. I love the Browns at plus 150. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. That's one of our, both of our best bets coming up later, I think, is just a tease. But the fact that the Browns are not the favorite in the division surprises me. It really does. And the fact that you can get plus 150 value on it is great. Now, the one thing that I want to talk about with this division is, it to me, Dave, and I've talked to a lot of Steeler fans and they disagree with me, I think the Steelers take a big step back this year. It's so much so that there is a prop bet out there that I really like, and it's that the Bengals will finish ahead of the Steelers, and you can get really good value on it. I know that that's crazy to think about. You know, you got the Bengals at 22-1 to win the AFC North. You got the Steelers at 4-1 to win the AFC North. I actually think I'm worried about the arm strength for Ben. I'm worried about the offensive line. To me, I think the Steelers take a step back, and it wouldn't surprise me if your Cincinnati Bengals, Dave, finish ahead of the Steelers this year.
I hope you're right. Here's the problem. The Bengals had the worst offensive line in football last year, and they did very little to upgrade it. They got Riley Reiff at right tackle. That'll be an upgrade, but he's near the end of his career. I won't use the word washed up, but he's, I think he's near the end of his career. Former first-round pick, young man out of Iowa, not that young anymore. And then they drafted Jackson Carman in the second round thinking, and they even said at the press conference, he's our starting right guard. We have him penciled in at right guard. He needs to earn it, but we plan on him being starting right guard from day one. Well, he's running with the third team because it was a horrible, horrible pick. They didn't do enough. So that you get Riley Reiff. We'll see how much of an upgrade he is near the end of his career. And then Jackson Carman, who looks like a complete bust already. So, I don't know, man. It looks like they're setting themselves up to get Joe Burrow killed again. We'll see. I hope they can get past the Steelers. That would be nice. Let's look at some of these other divisional odds. In fact, let's jump ahead. I want to look at the Super Bowl odds. This is to be the champion of the Super Bowl. And there's two runaway favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Chiefs have, you know, the highest odds plus 500, so 5-1 for the Chiefs, 6-1 for the Bucks. Then you jump all the way down to the Bills, 12-1. Packers also 12-1. And then three teams bunched there at 14-1 with the Ravens, Rams, 49ers, Cleveland Browns 16-1 to win the Super Bowl, Seahawks 22-1, Cowboys 28-1, Titans 28-1, and then the Chargers 30-1. We'll cut it off there. You like any value there? To me, the Chiefs at plus 500 is the one I would. I know that's the favorite, but plus 500, that's the one that I would bet on.
Yeah, you and I last year, we did basically updated Super Bowl odds throughout the entire year each Sunday. And we said, look, load up on the best team, which was the Chiefs, we thought. All year long, we said, Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. And look, it was a good bet. They got to the Super Bowl, and you could hedge out, you know, at the point where things got dicey. But for me, looking at this, I'm a little bit surprised that the Buccaneers are 6-1 and the Chiefs are 5-1 in the fact that I think the road to the Super Bowl for the Chiefs is more difficult than it is for the Buccaneers. I think the AFC is just absolutely loaded. And a big reason why is, you know, the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills at 12-1, I think that's the value that I look at right now. That's the one I have circled to play, is the Bills at 12-1. I think Josh Allen in that offense is just going to be fantastic. I think their defense is going to be a little bit better this year. So I've got the Bills at 12-1. And then if you're looking a little bit further down the board, look, the 49ers last year were so beat up. They were a great team 2 years ago, probably should have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, didn't have the talent. And so I think at 14-1, the 49ers also offer really good value.
It's funny you brought that up. I'm going to stay in that same division. I like the Rams a little bit at 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. You know, now Losing Akers hurts, but bringing Stafford in, they've got a good defense. They upgraded their offensive line. We'll see what happens. I think the Rams, I mean, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. If you're looking for a little bit of a long shot, Rams 14-1 might be one that I would look at. Now, I want to get ahead to college football in a minute. Any other, you want to look at any other NFL division odds that really catch your eye, or do you want to move on to college?
Yeah, let's do a couple where we think the favorite is not going to win the division, I guess. And for me, I'm going with the NFC East. The Cowboys are plus 120, which to me, that's, I don't like those odds at all. I actually like Washington at plus 230.
Yes.
I think there's great value with Washington. You got the gunslinger quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there now, so I think they got a little bit more figured out on offense. We talked about how good we think Terry McLaurin's going to be this year. So that's an underdog team at plus 230 that I like to win the NFC East. The other division that I kind of like a little bit of value in, and that's the NFC West. Look, that NFC West is loaded, right? We talked about that last year. Rams, 49ers, Seahawks. I don't think the Cardinals are going to win the division, but I mentioned that the 49ers are one of those teams that I think there's good value on to bounce back from a year where they just had too many injuries last year.
I'm going to give away all my best bets before we even get to the final segment of the show. You brought up Washington. I agree with you. Washington plus 230 to win the NFC East. I love that because I think they're the best team. And Cowboys get all the hype. You know, people say they're undefeated in July. It's like Michigan's undefeated in August. You know, you always hear all the hype. You know, maybe not so much this year when Phil Steele has Michigan ranked 60th in the country. They're not even ranked in the AP or coaches poll, but every year there's this hype about, and I'm going to be rooting for them because of Zeke, but like still, man, I think Washington, especially all they need is Fitzmagic just to kind of just be a game manager, which he can do. That defense is electric, and I think Washington's going to win that division. Plus 230, I love that. One more that I'll throw out there before we move on to college. Not getting great value here, but I just feel like unless, you know, they have like tons of injuries, I feel like the Bucks are a lock to win the NFC South. Now it's minus 200. You know, you got to bet 200 to win 100. I still like that. I mean, I'm going to be shocked. I mean, the Saints not having Breeze, Thomas being banged up. They have other issues with the Saints. I'm not sold on their quarterbacks at all. Now, I like Sean Payton, so, you know, I wouldn't completely rule him out. But I'll be shocked if the Bucks don't win the AFC South Championship. So I like Bucks minus 200 to win the South. All right, let's look ahead to college football here. College football, I absolutely love it here. Let's start with the odds to win the Big Ten championship. No surprise here. Ohio State minus 230. I thought it might be a little higher than that, though. I thought it might be minus 300. Ohio State minus 230 to win the Big Ten championship. I kind of like that.
I think that is unbelievably good odds.
You really like that.
You know, minus 230. So basically, for people out there, that means a $230 bet on Ohio State brings back $100 profit. So, you know, 230 to win 100, that's fantastic value. If you look at some of the other teams, the next best odds are Wisconsin at plus 550. You've got Penn State 8-1. Iowa 10-1. You got Michigan. You can throw that one out the window. That's 12-1. They never even make Big Ten championship games. So you are just lighting your money on fire at 12-1 with Michigan.
Indiana should have better odds than that.
Yes.
Indiana's plus 14 and Michigan's plus 1200. I mean, it's just, come on now. Come on. Indiana's better than Michigan. It's just, we get it though. This isn't necessarily who they think is better. It's they're trying to get bets, and Michigan's got a tremendous more, you know, amount of name recognition than Indiana, even though Michigan's been pretty much irrelevant for 20 years. Save a year here and there, like 2006. They're absolutely relevant in 2006 when we had the number one versus number two game. But for the most part, Michigan's been irrelevant since 1997. It's crazy. Yeah, man, I'm with you. I mean, now, if you're, let's take the scarlet and gray glasses off. If you're not betting Ohio State to win the Big Ten and there was somebody else that you had to bet on, would you take Indiana plus 14, go for the long shot? Would you maybe go Wisconsin plus 550, Penn State plus 800? If you're not taking Ohio State and you had to bet somebody else, who would it be?
If I had to bet somebody else, first off, I would eliminate betting anybody else from the East, okay, because I think Ohio State's a lock to win the division. But if you get into a one-game Big Ten championship game scenario, right, where you could have an upset in that one game, I would say I would take Iowa at 10-1. They can run the ball at 10-1. Look, I don't think Iowa is going to win this conference, but as far as value, I could see them coming out of the West beating Wisconsin. And so that, to me, that would be the value pick if you're eliminating Ohio State.
Yeah, and if Minnesota didn't have to play Ohio State in the opener, because I think that's going to be an L for the Gophers, I might pick Minnesota to win the West. I mean, Wisconsin doesn't have to play Ohio State in the regular season, so I think that gives them a big leg up. Now, I still think it's going to come down to Wisconsin. Now, Iowa will be in the mix, too. I like this Minnesota team. That's going to be no cakewalk in that opener, as every Buckeye fan knows. I mean, that's a physical, veteran Minnesota team. They can run the ball with Ibrahim. They've got a fifth-year senior quarterback in Tanner Morgan, who actually can come back next year because last year didn't count. I think Minnesota's going to have a bounce-back year. They were good 2 years ago, struggled last year in the weird season. Again, if Minnesota didn't play Ohio State, I think they might win the West. All right, let's look at odds to win the national championship. Buckeyes have the third-best odds. Alabama, no surprise, is the favorite, plus 250 for the Crimson Tide to repeat as national champions. Clemson, plus 350, checks in at number two. Ohio State, number three, plus 600. Oklahoma's next, 7-1. Oh, excuse me, Georgia. No, they just have these in the wrong order here. Georgia's actually third at 5-1. Ohio State's fourth at 6-1. Then Oklahoma at 7-1. And then a huge jump. Iowa State 28-1. A&M 28-1. LSU 33-1. Florida 33-1. Yada, yada, yada. No, we'll mention Notre Dame Bodie. Notre Dame 40-1. What jumps out at you here, Scotty?
Which, by the way, somehow Michigan is only 50-1. Again, talk about throwing your money away. But here's what I'm looking at, Dave. Look, we look at the top five: Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia, and then huge drop off, right? So I don't think either one of us would put any money on any of the long shots below the top five. You know, I obviously, Ohio State, I love their chances to win the Big Ten, to get into the playoff. I think if you're looking for value, I think Oklahoma is basically a lock to win the Big 12 and to get into the playoff. Look, they're the ones. They are the team that has gotten into the playoff and gotten blown out multiple times. I think there might be a little bit of value, though, bringing back Spencer Rattler. Also, talent. So I could see Oklahoma at 7-1. Full disclosure, I don't like betting the NCAA national championship odds. I just don't see enough value in any of these. But if I were to pick one value-wise, I'd say Oklahoma at 7-1.
I want to take quickly a look at the Pac-12 odds to win the Pac-12 championship. Ohio State's going to be playing Oregon in week two. Oregon is the favorite in the Pac-12. 2-1 odds. And then it goes Washington plus 325, USC plus 375, Arizona State plus 400, checks in at fourth. If I am betting any of those, I might go Oregon, but I like Arizona State. I think Arizona State's the second best team in that league. They've got a lot more talent than people think. Arizona State at 4-1 to win the Pac-12, that's one I kind of like, Scotty.
Yeah, that league is just so wide open to me. It's interesting that the favorite, Oregon, is 2-1. So I think that shows you that there's a lot of uncertainty towards the top. Another team in the Pac-12 that I like is Utah, and they're coming in at plus 550. So it's such a wide open conference to me. It's a no bet, no play for me, but I think Utah offers a little value.
We're just 6 days away from college football. Woo! Illinois against Nebraska, 11 days away from Buckeye football. It feels so good to say that. So good. It's going to be here before we know it. On the Money is sponsored by Mobile Center, taking care of all of your cellular needs. Mobile Center, now part of the 5G T-Mobile network. And Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. All right, up next, we're going to take a look at the betting and fantasy preview of the Cincinnati Bengals. That is up next on the Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Always imitated, never duplicated. Your heritage sports talker and flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Right. On the Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by the one and only Scotty Vegas. I love that nickname. It's simple but perfect. Scotty Vegas. My man, he knows the sports gambling very, 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 very well. Speaking of sports gambling, let's get into some betting advice and some fantasy advice, Scotty, for the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be a quick segment. No. do we need to even mention the Super Bowl odds? 100-1 for them to win the Super Bowl, which was tied for the third lowest in the NFL.
I was looking through that during the break, Dave, and I'm like, boy, I could just kind of cross out 100-1 Super Bowl, 55-1 AFC, 22-1 AFC North. Yeah, we can kind of throw those away. I think the ones that are relevant, though, number one is the Bengals to have a winning record this year. Is that relevant? I'm not sure. But it's 4-1. The Bengals are 4-1 to have a winning record. And then plus 460. So again, in betting terms, that's putting $100 down and winning $460 for the Bengals to make the playoffs. So I don't like any of those. What about you, Dave? This is your Bengal team. I'm excited to see Joe Burrow. I just don't see any of those numbers mattering.
Yeah, Burrow plus 650 for comeback player of the year might be the best bet. And frankly, unless it's an Alex Smith situation where you almost get your leg amputated and you've missed like two full years or three, whatever it was. Like, I hate when it's a guy like misses half a year because of injury, who's playing great, and then he plays great next year only because he stays healthy and he's comeback player of the year. I feel like comeback player of the year should be a guy that, like, again, unless it's Alex Smith, should be a guy that just stunk. Not because of injuries, but just was not very good, and then everybody kind of wrote him off, and then he's the comeback player of the year. But that's not how they do it. So Burrow 650 for comeback player of the year. I think he's going to have a good year. What's the over-under for wins for the Bengals? Is it 7 or 6.5? I think I've seen both. What have you seen for over-under?
I've seen 6.5.
That's interesting. What would you take on that?
Well, I would probably still take under. I think it'll be right around 6.
Yeah.
But again, I made the comment that I think the Steelers are going to take a step back this year, and I think there's a chance that the Bengals could compete with the Steelers. And here's the thing, you know, we're ripping on these Super Bowl odds and AFC and AFC North odds, but to me, the Bengals are going to be must watch this year in the fact that I love the talent all over this offense. And so while the Bengals aren't a threat in these division odds and Super Bowl odds, they are absolutely, they've got a lot of players to look at in fantasy football. And Ja'Marr Chase, adding him to T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, I think you might have probably one of the top three groups of wide receivers in all the NFL, and that might be three top 40 wide receivers in the NFL. And so this offense is going to be fun. And Dave, I'm really excited to get your opinion, because I think Joe Mixon is going to be a fantasy stud this year. If the injuries can stay away this year, and we know he has tons of potential, and Gio is gone for this year. So I think there's some extra value in Joe Mixon. What do you think?
Especially in PPR, even half. I think you feel the same way. I advocate half point PPR. I think full point PPR is a little rich. I mean, you can like get a swing pass, lose 5 yards, and then you get a point. Like, come on. Let's do half point PPR. Yeah, I think in PPR, half point PPR, whatever it is, Joe Mixon has really good value this year. Yeah, injuries are a concern with him. Also, the offensive line's a concern, even though they've upgraded it a little bit. They didn't do nearly enough. That's a concern. It's also a concern when you got, you know, three wide receivers that are going to get the ball, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. They're going to be throwing the football. I mean, Zach Taylor is just, I mean, he had games last year. He's throwing Joe Burrow like 50 times a game as a rookie and with a bad offensive line. I mean, just so they're going to probably throw the ball, but that can help Joe Mixon too, because he can catch some of those passes. So make sure it's a PPR. If it's not a PPR league, that knocks Joe Mixon down a lot, in my opinion. But you make a great point with no Gio there. They're not going to be pulling Joe off the field on third down to get Gio in there. They're not going to be spelling Joe Mixon with Gio. Although I like Samaje Perine as a backup running back, a guy kind of a change of pace guy, the little, you know, the Oklahoma guy, kind of throw him in there and let him just beat up the defense a little bit, loosen him up a little bit. Now, we'll see about the receivers. There's been some talk. Ja'Marr Chase, not just some talk, I mean, in the preseason game last night, he had 3 drops. He had 5 drops his entire year at LSU when they won the national championship. 5 the entire year, and he's been dropping passes in practice, they're saying. That's a concern. Hopefully that's just like a blip on the radar and he'll get it locked in, but that's a concern. I like Joe Burrow in fantasy this year. I'm not saying, you know, draft him early, but if you're waiting on a quarterback, you know, he's ranked right around 10th, 11th, depending on what service you're looking at. Joe Burrow, to me, is going to have a good fit. He was having a good year last year before he got hurt, and he's got better weapons now. So I like Joe Burrow in fantasy this year.
I'm with you, and really for three reasons. Number one, we mentioned how good those wide receivers and how good that group is. So I love that. Number two, I love the fact that the Bengals have a really, really bad defense. And that's a big factor for fantasy quarterbacks. The Bengals are going to be behind in a lot of football games, and they're going to have to throw and sling it around. And so you're going to get a lot of late game numbers coming from Joe Burrow. So I think there's value with the bad defense. And then we mentioned, you know, I think their offensive line is going to be a little bit better, and Joe Mixon. So this offense is going to score points. They're going to have to score points because that defense is so bad. And so I'm with you. I think Joe Burrow is a good sleeper. Look, last year before he went out, he was on pace to be one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league as far as fantasy goes. I think he improves on that, and so I think he is a good late round pick.
Yeah, even with Ja'Marr Chase with the drops, again, hopefully he just gets over that. I'm still, Ja'Marr Chase is a rookie with all this potential. I'll take him over washed up A.J. Green, So you add Ja'Marr Chase, you get rid of A.J. Green. T. Higgins is stronger. T. Higgins was really good as a rookie last year. He could be a sneaky good pick in fantasy this year because everybody's overlooking him because of Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins was really good last year, and he's added like 10 pounds. He's catching everything. There's no talk about him dropping anything. Now, it wouldn't be on the money if I didn't put Scotty Vegas on the spot. I didn't even tell him I was going to do this. It wouldn't be one of our shows if I didn't put Scotty on the spot and ask him, when in the heck are we going to have legalized sports gambling in Ohio?
Okay, Dave. So I love that we're getting into this on show number one because nothing gets me more angry than the fact that it is not legal yet in the state of Ohio because it is legal everywhere you look, north,
everywhere else,
east, south, west. It is legalized all around us. Mm-hmm. So here is the latest. It looked like it was going to get done in late June. It didn't get done. It is supposedly supposed to be at the top of the agenda in September. And all the framework is basically done. Just got to get agreement across the board. It looks like if that does happen in September, what it would mean would be legalized gambling would start as early as April of 2022. Okay, so that's kind of the plan. That's the way everything is looking and trending right now, is hopefully this can get done in September for it to be ready and up and running next April.
We need one of those executive orders from Governor Mike DeWine. Name, image, and likeness was going off the rails. He's like, no, let me do an executive order. Bam, that's done. How about we just do that with legalized sports gambling? You're right. You can go to any neighboring state, and it's legal. It's ridiculous that we're waiting this long. Ohio behind the times, as usual. Up next is our football quick hitters, where Scotty and I will answer five burning questions about the NFL and college football. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. It is time for our football quick hitters. These are five questions about the NFL or college football that must be answered. Number one, Scotty, what is a later round player that you're hoping to grab in every one of your fantasy drafts this year?
So, two guys who I've been targeting. I know you said one, but I'm going to go LaVisca Chenault. wide receiver from the Jags. I love him a lot. A lot of good things out of him out of camp. But I'm also going to go with a Buckeye that I want to have on my team, and that's Trey Sermon. We talked about the fact that he could be the 49ers starting running back this year, and he's being drafted as a running back in the 30s. If you can get him in round 10, 11, 12, Trey Sermon, to me, has the ability to be a big-time late-round lottery pick for you. You know, by the way, Dave, kind of going off this a little off track a little bit. I love the fact that the biggest fantasy issue that I have right now is everybody wants to schedule their fantasy drafts at the same night, same time. To me, that might signal that I'm in too many leagues, but I love you send out your email of, hey, let's pick on Monday night, and I've got another couple drafts on Monday night. It's just getting ridiculous trying to organize all these.
So are you saying Monday night is not a good night for you? We're doing live on the air for my league.
Yes, I just saw your email. No for Monday night.
Oh, goodness. So I'm going to have to pick a different day, huh? Oh, man. I thought I was at my fantasy limit. I keep thinking I'm at my fantasy limit. People keep saying, you want to join my league? You want to join my league? You want to join my league? I acquiesced with Jeff Pavolino, and I'm joining the 97.1 The Fan League. Got to do that. It's a big league. Like 14 teams in that one?
14.
Jeez, that's a big one. That's a big one. All right. Now, I'm going with Michael Thomas to answer the first question. I talked about this earlier. I mean, there's been an overcorrection here. I mean, you can get him like where teams are like starting to draft like defenses and kickers. That's how late he's being drafted. Like the 54th wide receiver off the board. You draft him, you stash him, put him on IR, assuming your league has an IR, and you got to think you're going to make the playoffs, right? Taking a late round wide receiver that's not going to play for a few weeks shouldn't hurt your chances of making your league's playoffs by the time the playoffs roll around. Guess what? You got Michael Thomas. Now, is it Michael Thomas for catching balls from Drew Brees? No, but that's still going to be a steal for me. So Michael Thomas is a guy that I'm targeting. If he falls to, like I'm saying, like the 54th wide receiver off the board, I will be taking him. All right, number two in our football quick hitters. Scotty, which NFL rookie will have the biggest fantasy year?
I think the obvious answer is probably Najee Harris. I mean, being the Steelers' number one running back, and we know that the Steelers are a team that likes to rely on one running backs and have had a ton of success with fantasy running backs. So I think Harris makes sense. But I want to throw out another name that I think late in the draft might be a guy that could impact teams later in the year and help you in the fantasy playoffs, and that's Trey Lance. I told you guys that I'm high on the 49ers. I think they got crazy potential. They had so many injuries last year. I think Trey Lance and really Justin Fields also. I think both of those guys, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, are good late fantasy stashes. Because look, in the past, we've seen quarterbacks come out of nowhere. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, last year, Aaron Rodgers, as far as fantasy goes, and help you win the league. I think Trey Lance, Justin Fields could be those guys.
I thought you were going to go Trey Sermon on me.
I went with the last question. I can't double up.
I thought, you might be the biggest Trey Sermon fan in the world. Maybe you're going to double up there. Yeah, I'm going to go with the obvious answer that you mentioned, Najee Harris. I mean, the Steelers didn't draft him in the first round for him to be like a guy that shares the load. You don't draft a running back in the first round unless you think he's going to be your guy. He's going to be a three down back. And I think, now their offensive line's not very good, but still, I think Najee Harris, just by volume, is going to be the best of the fantasy rookies. Number three in our football quick hitters, Scotty. Which game on Ohio State's schedule is the toughest?
Ooh.
You can't say Alabama. You can't just assume they're going to play Alabama in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So here's the thing. I went and I looked at some of the early odds for this season. I really dove into this question. And Oregon is against Oregon, Ohio State is already a preseason 10-point favorite in that game. Against Indiana, they're an 11-point favorite. Penn State, 10.5. Michigan, 11.5. So that shows Ohio State is a double-digit favorite in every single regular season game already on their schedule in the preseason. To me, the toughest game, the one I'm most worried about, Dave, is probably that Penn State game. But I still, out of all four, I think they win all four by double digits. So I'm going to say Penn State, but it's close.
If it was in Happy Valley with whiteout conditions, I would say Penn State. I'm going to go with Oregon. Oregon's going to come up with a chip on their shoulder, the program. Not that these kids have anything to do with it. Oregon's never beaten Ohio State. They're 0-9, and they've lost some big games. They've lost Rose Bowls. They've lost a national championship game in 2014 to the Buckeyes. Now, again, those kids were not on the team. This coaching staff was not there. But still, that's going to be, you know, they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. Again, though, I think Ohio State's going to win that game by double digits, though. But if I have to pick one, it's Oregon. There's going to be a game that is close. That's either they're going to win the Big Ten regardless, in my opinion. I think there's a chance they could lose a game along the way that we're not expecting. But I think even if they do, it's not going to cost them. They'll still win the Big Ten and get in the college football playoff, because I think 12-1 Ohio State, Big Ten champ, would make the playoff. So I'll go with Oregon, but again, I think I'm with you. I think they're going to win that game by double digits. All right, number four. Which college football team ranked in the top 10 to enter the season will end up unranked by the end of the season?
Yeah, and this happens every single year, by the way. 13 of the last 14 years, a top 10 team has ended up not ranked. So somebody is probably going to be ending up not ranked. And I guess, and I look up and down this top 10, I guess I'll go Cincinnati, which I hate to do because I love Luke Fickle, but you know, they have a tough schedule. They play Indiana. They play Notre Dame. I think they probably will lose both of those games. There are a chance they're going to lose both, maybe lose a league game. So this is a tough prediction because looking up through that top 10, I didn't see an obvious answer. I guess I'm going to go Cincinnati just based on their schedule.
I did have one that jumped out at me because I was thinking this is going to be tough. And I'm looking, then I saw one at six that just jumped off the page at me. Texas A&M. Now, unranked, that's tough because I could see them being 20th, but they're going to suffer multiple losses last year. They're ranked this high based off of kind of a fluky year last year. They lost their quarterback. They lost, you know, they have a tough schedule. And then if they lose a game or two, they're not expected to lose, which they very well could be. I mean, Jimbo Fisher's an okay coach. I don't think he's a great coach. All of a sudden, they would be outside of the top 25. So I will go with Texas A&M. All right, the fifth and final question here in our football quick hitters. Which preseason bet with the odds of 10-1 or more would you make?
So I mentioned the AFC North and how, you know, the Browns are the underdog in the division. Now, taking them to win the division, that's not 10-1 or more. But here's what is 10-1 or more is the exact outcome in the AFC North. I've got it at the Browns finishing first, the Ravens finishing second, the Bengals finishing third, the Steelers finishing fourth. It has to go in that exact order, but it pays 18-1. I think Ooh. There's good value. Now, that's, of course, asking the Browns to win the division. That's asking the Bengals to somehow finish with a little bit better record than the Steelers. I told you, I think the Steelers take a big step back this year. They have a really, really tough schedule. They've got a bad offensive line, and I'm worried about Ben's arm strength. So I'm going to say at 18-1, the AFC North going Browns, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers.
Now, full disclosure, I am not going to make any bets that are 10-1 in the preseason this year, but if I had to make one, I would go a extreme long shot. Stay with me here. Boston College to win the ACC championship. They're getting 30-1 odds. I'm a little biased here. I like Jeff Hafley. They were good last year. They're bringing a lot of guys back, including their quarterback. I think they're going to be sneaky good this year. Now, of course, I think Clemson's going to win, but you give me 30-1 odds, I can lay a five spot on there. I mean, for me, $5, not 500. When, you know, put $5 on that and you win 200. Yeah, much to lose. Throw $5 on there. Don't throw 500. Throw $5 on there. If Jeff Hafley gets it done, you win 200. I like 30-1 odds there for Boston College to win the ACC championship if I had to make an extreme long shot bet, which I'm not going to do, by the way. Scotty, the Bud Light Picks contest is back. What do the good people need to know about that?
Yes, front page, 971thefan.com. Every single week, make your NFL picks. I go on there. I make my picks. We discuss our picks. Dave and I do every Sunday before the games start. And you can join us. And by the way, we're giving away an amazing Bud Light Fan Cave prize, and what it includes is $900 towards a new couch, right? You can always use a new couch, a new sectional, $900 plus a big screen TV. You get a kegerator from Bud Light. You get a Bud Light neon sign. I mean, it's incredible. All you have to do is pick winners. That's what we do every week. You're going to go and you're going to pick winners every Sunday. And all you have to do right now is go on 971thefan.com, front page, front slider, click on it, and start entering your week one picks.
I still crack up thinking back to last year. We initially called it the Man Cave, and then the women's just started just kicking butt, and we were like, wait a minute, we got to change the name here. Fan Cave. It's perfect. Fan Cave. mostly because the women came out guns a-blazing last year and just beating the men down left and right in the Bud Light Picks contest. Love it, love it, love it. All right, up next is Best Bets, where Scotty and I will give our favorite bets to make this week. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
It opens your mind to stimulating conversation and live sports. And best of all, it still costs $0. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle, joined by Scotty Vegas. Final segment of the show, season debut of the show here. It's great to be back. It's also time for Best Bets. Hit it, Bodie.
It's time for Biddle and Scotty Vegas to fight to the death. It's time for Best Bets.
Sponsored by Mobile Center, part of the 5G T-Mobile network.
Seems a little violent. I guess we're only going to have one host next week. All right, this is where Scotty and I pick our five favorite bets to make this week. And it can be anything from the sports world. Now, once the NFL season begins, we will do our five favorite NFL bets each week. All right, here we go, Scotty. What are your five best bets for this week?
And you and I, by the way, we dominated this last year, right? We made these five picks every week last year.
You dominated. I was barely over 500, but thank you. Thank
we're,
you.
We're a combined effort.
We're a
we
team.
Don't really fight to the death. It's
That's
a
right.
combined effort.
I appreciate that.
So I'm going to go number one. I told you at the top of the show I've been on fire with golf bets. The first one I'm making is Justin Thomas 7-1 to win the Northern Trust. Now, they're rained out today. So they're going to finish tomorrow. He's only two back heading into the final round. So Justin Thomas at 7-1. I've got that. I told you that I'd really like the Titans in the AFC South this year. So I'm going to take the Titans at -115, especially with Wentz out for who knows how long. I've got the team to be the number one seed in the AFC. I've got the Bills at 4-1. I like the Bills a lot this year. I think there's good value. I think there's good value on them at the Super Bowl odds of 12-1, but I'm taking them 4-1 to be the one seed in the AFC. I'm taking the Packers to win the NFC in the farewell tour in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. So 6-1 to win the NFC. And then lastly, I got to go tennis. I was at the tennis tournament this week. I'm going to go tennis, U.S. Open. I've already got this one in. I've got Novak Djokovic in at even money at the U.S. Open as he tries to win four majors in a row this year. So four for Joker. I'm taking it at even money.
I don't know where you found that. I have one. Djokovic is one of my best bets. We'll get to that in a minute. I don't have as good. I need to find wherever you're getting your lines from. Obviously not from here in Ohio. Sorry,
no.
I'll get over it. No, actually, I won't get over it. We have every other state around us as legalized sports gambling, and Ohio's behind the times. It's ridiculous. All right, my five best bets. Number one, talk about this throughout the show. Michigan under 7.5 wins, futures bet. 12-game regular season. Michigan would have to go 8-4 for you to lose that bet if you go under. That means they would have to enter the game at 8-3 if you think they're going to lose to Ohio State, which they will. They're not entering that game at 8-3. So they can even go 7-5. You'll still win the bet. I love Michigan under 7.5 wins. Number two, I like the Browns +150 to win the AFC North. I think they're the best team. We talked about this earlier. The Ravens are the favorite. I think the Browns are the better team, and I like that +150 for the Browns to win the AFC North. I also have Djokovic winning the U.S. Open. By the way, I hope he doesn't. I don't like him, but like everybody's dropping out. Now Medvedev and Zverev and Tsitsipas are, you know, the young gen are still there, but like there's no Federer, there's no Nadal. Djokovic to win the U.S. Open. I have it at -150. That's on Bovada, so I got to find the even money. I like the even money a lot better than -150. Number four, again, I don't hope this happens, but the Milwaukee Brewers 4-1 to win the National League Championship, the NL pennant. Here's why. I don't think they're the best team in the NL, but they're the only division leader that basically has their division locked up. Hopefully the Reds catch them. You know, the Dodgers and the Giants are the two best teams, but they're battling for that AL West crown, and one of them's going to be in a one-and-done playoff situation. The Brewers with that pitching staff, offense is coming around, and again, they don't have to worry about playing in the wild card most likely. Brewers +400 is some good value there to win the NL pennant. I hope the Reds win it, of course, but Brewers is who I'll go with there. Number five, I really like this one. We talked about this one earlier too, Scotty. The Washington football team +230 to win the NFC East.
Yes.
The Cowboys are the favorite, and a prohibitive favorite too. I don't get it. Washington plus 230 to win the NFC East. So those are my five best bets. Scotty, are you liking the fact that we're going to a 17-game schedule this year in the NFL? Because I like it. It's just more, you know, more betting, more fantasy football. I like it.
More football. I'm all in for more football. That's why when people complain about, oh, there's too many bowl games, you're crazy. It's more football. Just give me more football. 17 weeks, I'm in.
Yeah, at first I was like, 16 is good, you know? And like, but maybe that's just scared to change because I love it. Just, you know, selfishly, I love 17-game season. I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, your best bet of Michigan, you've talked me into that one. I'm all in on the under for Michigan at 7.5. That's a good bet. I'm in on that. And the Joker money, that was placed before Nadal was out. So I've got it at even money.
Well, that's our show for today. We will be with you every Sunday from 9 to 11 talking fantasy football and sports gambling. For Bodie Wells and Scotty Vegas, I am Dave Biddle. Up next on the Fan pregame coverage of the Giants at the Cleveland Browns.
In our quest to shove as much football in your ear hole as possible, we become the radio home for the Browns. If they're awesome, it's all our fault.
Are you a Slurpee drink connoisseur? Do you know the secret to the perfect big gulp drink mix? Find your next